Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin, as-salatu was-salamu ala sayyidil anbiya'i wal mursalin, amma ba'd. Fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin, ar-rahmanir rahim, maliki yawmiddin, sadaqallahul azim. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آله سيدنا وشفيعنا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصلى عليه Respected ulama, dear brothers of Islam, dear sisters of Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May I take this opportunity to thank you again for inviting me to the town of Keighley to continue with the session of talks that we have been having and the importance of the Day of Judgment and the signs relating to the Day of Judgment. Alhamdulillah, during the blessed month of Ramadan, we heard about the minor signs of the Day of Judgment relating to the past, our past, and relating to the present era. And we talked about various different minor signs. Inshallah, today we will talk about the major signs that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has prophesied and advised us and warned us about. It's narrated in Sahih Muslim that Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala an was talking to some of the companions when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked past. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inquired, "What are you talking about?" And Hazrat Hudhayfa radiallahu an replied, "We are talking about the final hour." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the final hour will not approach until there are 10 major signs. He then mentioned them: the coming of Imam Mahdi, the coming of Dajjal, the Nuzul, the descension of Isa ibn Maryam, Ya'juj, Ma'juj, Gog and Magog, the beast that will roam the earth, the smoke, the three earthquakes that will occur, one in the east, one in the west, and one in the center of Arabia, the fire that will occur, that will rise the people, and the people's gathering for the Day of Hashr. We find various different hadith relating to all these aspects in great detail. And we cannot talk about each and every one of them in great detail today. So inshallah, Allah willing, we will talk about some of the more important ones that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has warned us about and advised us. The first of the major signs is the coming of Imam Mahdi radiallahu anhu. Imam Mahdi, as narrated by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu in Abu Dawud, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that in the final hour, when the Muslims are at their weakest, Allah will give them a commander, a khalif, who will lead them to victory. The commander and the khalif will have the same name as mine. In other words, his name will be Muhammad. And his father's name will be the same name as my father. In other words, Abdullah. Imam Ibn Kathir says that his name will be the same as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His father's name will be the same as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his lineage will be that of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He will be from the children of Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, and from her oldest son Imam Hassan ibn Ali radiallahu an. And Imam Mahdi will be recognized by the ulama whilst he will be performing the tawaf of the Kaaba. What will be occurring around that time, that there will be an army that will come from the east? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says the army will come shouting victory and the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when they reach Constantinople, one third of the army will turn their back and go astray. Allah will never forgive them. One third of the army will fight in the way of Allah, and that one third of the army, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them martyrdom, the best form of martyrdom. And the final third of the army will continue to fight until Allah gives them victory. These will be the people who will be fighting the army of Imam Mahdi. Imam Mahdi radiallahu anhu will be recognized by the pious whilst he will be performing the tawaf of the Holy Kaaba. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that his characteristics will be that he will have a large forehead and he will have a large nose, resembling that of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when he is performing the tawaf of the Holy Kaaba, the ulama will recognize him and they will want to give oath to him. MashaAllah. He will initially refuse them. He will say no to them and continue his worship. But then, as people gather closer, a voice will be heard, هذا خليفة الله مهدي. This is the Khalifa of Allah Mahdi. Listen to him and obey him. At that point, the ulama will give bi'ah to him, and then with him, they will leave Makkatul Mukarrama and make their way to Syria, Mulk-e-Sham. An army will be sent from the east again to try and intercept them, but before they reach Makkatul Mukarrama, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the earth and this army will be buried alive. Then Imam Mahdi will take his followers and he will then go to Mulk-e-Sham. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that if you hear the call of Imam Mahdi, then leave wherever you are. Even if you have to walk on all fours and crawl to him over the mountains of the snow, then you should reach him and join his group. Imam Mahdi will be in Mulk-e-Sham when the dissension of Isa ibn Maryam will occur. Imam Mahdi will live on this earth, as narrated by one of the hadith, for 7 years. And the Muslims will pray over him. But when he is in the masjid, the Umayyad masjid in Mulk-e-Sham in Syria, it will be a morning of Fajr Salah, when Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, will descend onto the east minaret. He will have 2 pieces of white clothing on, slightly dyed with saffron, and each of his hands will be resting on one of the wings of the angels, and he will descend. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that he will resemble most like Urwa ibn Mas'ud Thaqafi radiallahu anhu, who was a Sahabi of Taif. He will be of a light reddish complexion, and his hair will be like as if he has just come out of a bath. And his perspiration will drop like beads of pearls. When he descends, from his fragrance of his mouth, the disbelievers will die. And those who take on his fragrance they will be able to smell it from as far as the eye can see. When Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam descends, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam will be asked by Imam Mahdi to lead the Fajr Salah. Isa alayhi salam will refuse and Imam Mahdi will lead the Fajr Salah. Here, showing that the Ummah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sharia of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the one that we will rule. It doesn't mean that Imam Mahdi is of a higher rank than Isa alayhi salam, because it is the aqidah of the believers that the prophets have the highest rank of all. But there have been times when Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala led the salah and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was behind them. So here proving that by leading the salah doesn't mean that their rank is higher. However, Isa, as the Imam Mahdi will ask Isa alayhi salam to come forth, but he will refuse. And the Fajr Salah will be read. At that time, the army will have conquered Constantinople, or Istanbul. And Hadrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala narrates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that when Jerusalem will be a flourished city and Madinatul Munawwara will be in ruins and Constantinople will have been conquered because of the Great War. And due to the Great War, Madinatul Munawwara will be in ruins. At that time, the biggest fitna of all, the biggest threat to all mankind will appear. And that's the Antichrist, Masih al-Dajjal. The Dajjal will appear and he will start his fitna in such a way that no fitna, no tribulation, no affliction has ever occurred in the history of mankind. Abu Qatada radiallahu ta'ala and narrates in Sahih Muslim that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was talking about Dajjal, sometimes we used to think he's far away. But sometimes when he used to talk about him, we used to think that he is hiding behind the palm trees. He was that close. And due to that fear, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked us, why do you fear? They replied, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with you mentioning Dajjal, we were fearful. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if Dajjal appears during my era, then I will be sufficient for him. He is proving that no power is beyond the power of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, however, if I am not amongst you, then each and every one of you should seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Dajjal has been explained in many ahadith. And the fitna of Dajjal is the greatest of all. Because why? Dajjal will claim to be Allah himself. We have found many different mini Dajjals, and we talked about them in the minor signs, where 30 will appear, each one of them claiming to be a prophet. Dajjal will appear initially claiming to be a prophet, and then he will claim to have the power, and he will be the Lord himself. Dajjal will appear from Khurasan. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala and narrates the hadith related by Imam Tirmidhi rahimahumullah. He will appear from the east, which is at the moment far east, or the old Republic of Soviet Russia. He will appear from there, and Dajjal will come out in the state of anger. Here, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also explained everything in detail. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that he will be like a man of Ibn Qatan. He will be like Ibn Qatan from the Khuza'a tribe. He will be short and he will be hairy. But one of the most distinct signs of Dajjal will be that his eye will be defunct. He will be blind in one eye and his right eye will be protruding like a grape. And Imam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahumullah clarifies this by stating that there is dispute amongst the scholars whether his left eye will be defunct or his right eye will be defunct. What is agreed is that his right eye will be the one which will be protruding. And Ibn Hajar rahimahumullah says that his left eye will be defunct and his right eye will be protruding. Here clarifying the dispute amongst the scholars. But one thing is for sure, that one of his eyes will be defunct. And the other clear sign of the Dajjal will be that he will have the letters Ka, Fe, Re stamped on his forehead. And every believer will be able to recognize it as the word kafir. And therefore every believer has been forewarned. And every believer will be able to gain protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, he will have many, many followers. And Hazrat Nawas radiallahu ta'ala an Ibn Sa'ah relates a lengthy hadith in Sahih Muslim. He says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that when Dajjal appears, the first day will be like the length of a full year. The second day will be like a full month. The third day will be like a full week. And the day number 4 to day number 40, because Dajjal will roam the earth and every single part of the earth except for two places. And these will be the Haramain. Makkatul Mukarrama and Madinatul Munawwara. Where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put angels guarding this sacred sanctuary and the angels will have unsheathed swords. And as he approaches the Haramain, they will draw their sword and he will be able to see that and he will retract. But here, there's a very important point. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala an were picturing the fact that Dajjal will appear. And the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala an were being told about Dajjal and his appearance. And they also knew that he was the greatest fitna to mankind from the creation of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. So when you hear the history of Fir'aun, when you hear about Namrud, when you hear about all the great history, no fitna has ever occurred which will be greater than Dajjal. And the Sahaba were well aware of that. However, at that point, what did the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala and ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Just going to show the priorities that they place on the deen. In Sahih Muslim it has been narrated in this hadith that the Sahaba immediately asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, when Dajjal appears and the first day will be like a year long, should we only pray 5 salah or should we pray according to the time? Here showing that the greatest fitna is on earth. The fitna that you have to avoid. No other fitna or tribulation has ever occurred. And no mankind, regardless of what difficulty you are in, has ever occurred as big as the fitna of Dajjal. And yet the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala and at that point is asking about their salah.
SubhanAllah.
And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you are present at that time, then do not pray just 5 rakat salah, calculate how many salah should be prayed according to the length of the time. Here, the scholars say what the people should do is that if the time between Fajr and Dhuhr is 8 hours long, then they should pray 365 Fajr Salah with a gap of 8 hours in between.
SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah.
Now think about this, that a Fajr will be prayed, and then a gap of 8 hours, Fajr will be prayed. And continuing like that till the time of Dhuhr comes. And then the time of Asr comes. So showing all together, there will be 365 Fajr Salah prayed, 365 Dhuhr, 365 Asr, 365 Maghrib, and 365 Isha.
Allah, Allah.
And here the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala ensured that they asked that point, just in case they were present when Dajjal would appear. And today we find that at the slightest excuse, we do not have the time for our salah. Then we wonder whether we will be one of those who will recognize the kafiri on the forehead of Dajjal. And then the fitna of Dajjal will be so fierce that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him power. Because of course it is He who is the most powerful one. And Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala says that he will have a garden with him and fire with him. Those whom he feels that they are following him, he will put into his garden. But in reality, that will be punishment and that will be fire. Those whom he is displeased with, he will put into his garden, his fire. And his fire will be in reality a garden of resting. But the eyes will be deceived. And it will be those with the strength of their iman who will be able to challenge him. Because the Dajjal will go as far as to do this. He will say to a person, who are your parents? Where are they? The person will reply that they have died. He will say, show me their graves. And so this man will show him their graves. He will be able to recreate his parents, and then his parents, after coming back to life, will say to their son, my son, believe in him, he is your Lord. Now here, in reality, it will be two shaitans that will resemble the figure of this person's parents. But it will be only his iman that will be able to protect him. On another situation, the Dajjal will go to places where there is major drought. And he will command the clouds. Once he commands the clouds, it will fall with rainfall. And immediately the crops will grow. And immediately their cattle will eat the crops, and their cattle will become fat. And the people will be able to gain milk like they have never gained before from their cattle. People will believe in him, for he has the power to provide rainfall, and therefore they will come under his deception. Those people, where he goes, and they refuse to believe in him, immediately they will have a major drought. And immediately people will start to die of hunger and thirst, and many thousands will die because of that. So here, those people who refuse him will be those people who know well and truly that this is the fitna of the Dajjal that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forewarned us about. And he has come to take our iman away. And they will be prepared to give their lives, but not to give their iman. And then the Dajjal will open the earth and wealth will come to him like a swarm of bees. The hadith has been quoted, like a large swarm of bees will come and there will be major, major wealth in the form of jewelry, in the form of money, in the form of any form of wealth that people will dive to get hold of it. And he will say, believe in me as your Lord and take this wealth with you. So those people in today's society who run for the wealth and put their iman behind them, then these will be the first in the queue. Then the Dajjal will try to approach Madinatul Munawwara. As he tries to approach Madinatul Munawwara, the angels will stop him. So he will camp outside Medina, and he will camp outside the sand dunes. There a pious man will appear. And he will say to the pious man, do you believe in me as your Lord? He will reply, no, I don't. For verily Allah is the only one worthy of worship. The Dajjal will cut him into two. And after cutting him into two, he will throw one of his parts of his body to one side and another part of his body to the other side, and he will walk between them two parts. And then he will show the people, now I am going to recreate this man. And he will then grab both parts of the body and put them together, and he will become alive again. The people will believe in him. He will then ask that man, do you now believe in me as your Lord? And the man will reply, now I am absolutely 100% sure that you are the Dajjal that the Messenger of Allah warned us about. At that point, it is narrated in Al-Bukhari that the Dajjal will try to kill him again, but Allah will take that power away. So here we find that he will do miracles that no eye has seen before, that no mind can think of. And yet, there will be thousands of people following him. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala unquotes in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad that the Dajjal will have 70,000 Jews behind him. And he even goes as far as to say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there will be 70,000 Jews and they will be wearing Persian shawls. What is this power that Allah has bestowed on His beloved Messenger? Not only does He explain who the followers will be, but He will even describe what they are wearing. And this army of the Dajjal will try to kill people and try to force people, and people will flock in their thousands to follow Him. And this is the great fitna of all. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, as Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala narrates, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you will hear many stories of the Dajjal and many detailed descriptions of the Dajjal. However, if you cannot remember everything, remember one thing. Your Lord is not blind. Your Lord is not blind and does not have a defunct eye. For Allah sees without the need of an eye. So here we see a physical sign that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about, that his eye will be defunct. He will be a human being and he will have the word kafiri on him. And the Dajjal will roam all for 40 days, as explained, with the length of the first 3 days equal to 1 year, 1 month and 1 week, and then the other 37 days equal to 24 hours each. And then Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam will have descended, and Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam will follow him. And as Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam breathes his beautiful fragrance of a breath, the Dajjal will start to melt. And it has been stated that even if Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam did not touch the Dajjal, the Dajjal would have melted just by the fragrance of the breath of Allah's beloved Messenger, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. However, at the gate of Lid, which is on the outskirts of Palestine, Dajjal will be captured by Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam and he will be killed. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also tells us at what, which point. At that point is the airport for Palestine at present. And this was the gate of Lib. And the Jews know well about this because they have researched it as well. And there is a tree there that they are still trying to research so they can cut it off. Because that is where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says Dajjal will be killed. And the army of Isa alayhi salam and Imam Mahdi will be told that the stone will speak and they will say, O believer, there is an enemy of Allah hiding behind me. Come and kill him. A tree will speak. There is the enemy of Allah hiding behind me. Come and kill him. At that point, the followers of the army of Dajjal, each and every one of them will be captured and they will be killed. At that point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gain peace on earth. So much peace that everyone will live in peace and harmony. And everyone will follow the Sharia and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now at this point, one thing you must remember. As many of the today's scholars have contributed and advised us that the today's society is leading us to follow the system of Dajjal. How is that? Because in today's day and age, you will find that what you think is the garden is in reality the fire. In people, our youth today find it is of great luxury to be able to commit fornication, commit zina. They brag amongst themselves about who they have been with the night before. They brag amongst themselves about how much alcohol they could drink. They brag amongst themselves about how many drugs they could take. Seeing it as something good, where in reality it is the hellfire. And in today's day and age, we find people who think that something of a burden to them, going to the masjid and praying their salah, following the way of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to them that is a major burden for them. To refrain from the haram and only go towards the halal, to them that is a major burden for them, where in reality that is the garden that Allah has prepared for them. And all the mindset is being changed by those people who will follow the Dajjal. Because you will find questions asked in today's day and age that no one has dared to ask before, in any culture or in any religion. In today's day and age, people are scared to say anything against homosexuality. Because if they say something against homosexuality, then that is regarded as a backward person. A person who is unfair, and yet in reality, he is talking about something which is a major sin, and yet he cannot talk about it. In any position of power, you cannot talk about it anymore. Up to the extent that there are talk shows which talk about, in reality, is there such a thing as a sin anymore? Because they do not believe that sin exists anymore. Because most people are no longer following any form of religion. And this is the Western culture, and this is the Western way of life. If a young man at the age of 24 wants to marry a girl at the age of 20 in the Western non-Islamic culture, if that girl is a virgin, then she is a defect. She is someone who has a problem with her. And yet in reality she is pure. But today the mindset is such that people think in this way. And the Muslims are not far behind. Muslims are rushing to try and follow every way that they can, which is the way of the Dajjal. If you look at the way of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that what do you give zakah? How is zakah based? It's based on gold and silver. Because gold and silver is something which in reality has value. And yet today the whole world currency is based on the dollar. And the dollar is based on interest. It's not based on the gold reserve that America has. The dollar is based on interest, as where the pound at the moment is still based on the gold reserves that the country has. But the euro is also based on interest. And that is why you can see in the next 5 to 10 years, everyone in Europe will follow the euro. Because that is based on interest. That is the system of the Dajjal. Because if you look into the history, how was jewelry, how was the note created? Who created it? Let me tell you. At one time, when people had some value, there were no banks then. There was no safekeeping then, except for one form. And that is those people who dealt in jewelry. And those people who dealt in jewelry were the Jews. They were dealing with jewelry, and they had safe stores. So a person used to go to them, and a person used to say to them, here's 1,000 coins of gold. Keep it for safekeeping. So they would keep it for safekeeping, and then when they wanted to travel, they would say, I want to go from one place to another place. So they used to say, the Jew who used to look after their gold, used to say to them, you don't need to take your gold, I will write you a note. And on the note, I will say, I promise to pay the bearer the sum of 1,000 coins. And they used to sign it, and this piece of paper was put into their pocket, and then when they used to reach the other end, they used to go to the other Jew, who used to have gold reserves, and they used to take this note out, and give it to him, and he would give them 1,000 coins of gold, what he had stored. And they would charge them interest. That is exactly how the note works today. And that's how the note, and this is all about the Dajjal system that has been created, that we, every one of us, are forced to follow. And that is how the world will become acceptable to the coming of Dajjal. And that is how the world, and when the true Dajjal appears, people will follow him. Now the question is, has Dajjal already been created, or is he going to be created? Then there is some confusion, and there are differences of opinion on this, relating to what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has advised us. There was a man called Ibn Siyad during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who used to claim that he used to gain divine revelation. And he was a man of sorcery and magic. And yet, reality, he used to calculate from the shayateen who used to tell him about things. And he used to foretell what used to happen. And some of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala and were convinced that he was Dajjal. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not deny that point. So some of the Sahaba said he was, Umar radiallahu ta'ala was one of them. However, the scholars say that he himself wasn't Dajjal. And the reason being was twofold, threefold. First of all, he was residing in Medina, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said Dajjal would not be able to enter Medina. The second point is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said one of the characteristics of Dajjal that he will be barren, he will not have any children. And Ibn Siyad had children. And the third point of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was that Ibn Siyad actually later became a believer. And yet the Dajjal will be, as related by two different hadith, one hadith said he will be from the Jewish tribe, and another hadith says that he will be a disbeliever. And he will die as a disbeliever. So here we find that Ibn Siyad was not Dajjal, but he had some of the characteristics that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala an were confused and they believed him to be. But more importantly is the hadith narrated by Fatima bin Qais radiallahu ta'ala an. And Fatima bint Qais radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she says that I went to the masjid, because at that time the women used to go to the masjid and pray. And she said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led the salah. And I was in the front row of the women, which was closer, because at the time the men's row used to be created, and then the children and then the women. And that's how the Jama'ah, congregation of men and women, was performed. And even today, that is how it's performed. And she was one of the front of the women rows. Hazrat Fatima bint Qays. And she says that the Prophet ﷺ sat on the minbar. And he says that today, a former Christian sailor who became a believer, Hazrat Tamim al-Dari radiallahu ta'ala an, has explained one of his journeys. Hazrat Tamim al-Dari radiallahu ta'ala an, was a Christian who became a believer. And he was a sailor who used to travel months in the sea. On one of his journeys, his ship lost navigation. And for a month he got lost from Arabia. And then he approached an island somewhere in the east of the Mediterranean. And he says that when we approached an island, we were approached by a beast. And the beast was covered from head to toe with hair, up to the extent that we could not recognize his front from the back. And we thought that he was the Dajjal. And he wasn't the Dajjal, he was the spy for Dajjal. And he was the one that led us. And he said, come and follow us. So we followed him until we got to a cave. And in the cave, we saw a man whose hands were chained. And his feet were shackled. And the man asked us the question, where are you from? And we said that we are from the land of Arabia. He asked the question, are you from a land where the trees give fruit? In other words, date trees. He said, yes, we are. He said that has a person appeared who claims to be a prophet? And Hazrat Tamim al-Dari radiallahu ta'ala said, yes, he has appeared. And he said, has he started his mission? And Hazrat Tamim al-Dari radiallahu ta'ala explained his mission about believing in the one Lord. And then the man, he was asked the question, who are you? He replied, I am the Masih al-Dajjal. And I have been tied here until Allah, my Lord releases me so that I can start my fitna. I can start my tribulation. However, if you go back, make sure that you follow the Messenger of Allah. So here even Dajjal was giving the advice at the time to follow the last prophet. So from this hadith, which is rigorously authenticated and narrated by Imam Muslim, the hadith clearly explains that the man either was Dajjal, which the Prophet ﷺ explained the hadith, or he had the characteristics of Dajjal. So the Ummah isn't aware whether Dajjal has already been created or he will be created. But one thing is for sure, he will come, and he will come when the final hours are approaching. So this is the fitna of Dajjal that every Muslim believer has to ensure that they protect themselves from. And the way to protect yourself, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised us as well. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you were to be approached by Dajjal, then read the opening 10 verses of Surah Kahf. If you read them and you blow them on him, you will be protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why the believers should pray the Surah Kahf on the day of Jummah. On the day of Friday, the Surah Kahf has the power to overpower Dajjal. The beginning and the end. So as believers, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't just advise us about him or what he is going to do, but also advise us about how to protect yourself from him. However, one thing is for sure, only those with the strongest of iman will be able to save themselves. Only those with the strength and the belief in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whereby they are prepared to give their lives for Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will be able to protect themselves. Because when he splits a man open, and when he tries to throw him, then you will be able to, and he recreates him. This is something that a normal human being cannot accept. Only his iman will be able to protect him. Therefore, we ask ourselves the question, our iman is under threat today by the small trivial things. Our iman is under threat, our salah is under threat. Because why? I have to go to work. Or I haven't got the time. Or I will pray it whenever I get a minute. I will pray it when I get old. All these are the excuses that we find. Some of the youngsters don't even understand how important the salah is. How can you be able to protect yourself from the fitna of Dajjal? How will you be able to protect? Because as clarified, the first thing the Sahaba asked was about the salah, showing how important the salah must be. Today we find that our children have a major lack of education, up to the extent that they are the ones who are ruling in the schools as gangsters. They are the ones who think that they are it. They think that they are the Dajjal themselves. They think everybody should fear them. They are the ones who go around in groups and cause fitna amongst schools. They are the ones who go around and have no fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are Muslim children today in the school. Go and ask any state head teacher. He will tell you the problems that they are having. The same is they become majority and they try to persecute the minority. It is cool to have half your head shaved when the Messenger of Allah said this is haram for the believers. It is cool to wear large thick gold chains when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it is haram for believing men to wear gold and silver. Any form of chain or jewelry is haram except for one silver ring. And yet we find that the believers are in that situation today. You will find the believers as drug dealers. Not only are they committing haram, but they are forcing others to take the haram from them. Then how will these people be able to protect themselves from the Dajjal? We will find that the believing sisters, 90% of them, are on the wrong path. May Allah protect them all. But you will find that this is the average statistic of today. It is cool to go out with the boys. It is cool to then explain how many boys that they have been out with. Isn't this all the way of the Dajjal? This is not even the way of the Christian. This is not the way of the Jews. It's the way of the Dajjal. And that is what everybody is driving themselves forward to. That is what everybody wants to be. If any way that they can collect haram money, they will do so. So when it comes to the treasures of Dajjal, do you think they're going to stop themselves from taking that? Do you think they are going to stop themselves from taking the haram money when in today, when easy things that they can prevent themselves from, they are not doing so? You will find that we see Muslim men eating in the McDonald's. They are eating Big Macs. They are eating in Burger King. They are eating in Kentucky Fried Chicken. To them there is no such thing as haram and halal. Everything is halal for them. And this is what we find ourselves today. Every part of this is the way of the Dajjal. And this is making your mindset make acceptable to the fact that there is nothing wrong with taking haram. It is making your mindset not to the fact that it is nothing wrong with taking the haram, but it is cool to take the haram. It is good to be able to be one of those who are the bad boys. Because those who do not commit haram, they are the weak. They are decided as the soft ones. They are the weak ones. And yet the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, he amongst you, the one strongest amongst you is the one who controls his anger. And yet we find that the slightest provocation and we commit riots. We have large fights. And then we use the excuse of the deen that we are Muslims and that's why we are being persecuted. The chief superintendent of Manchester said that the only way to stop the Muslims from performing Eid celebrations on Winslow Road is to have machine guns on the motorway. That was his comment. He apologized later on. Why did he have to make that comment? Why did he have to say we have to stop the Muslims from celebrating Eid? Because the way that we celebrate our Eid is so bad on Winslow Road that every haram act is done there. Without any shame whatsoever. Men are walking around with alcohol in their hand, burning tires where the police have to stop and cordon off them roads. Because it's a safety hazard for everyone. This is how the Muslims are behaving today in the West. And it's cool to do that. It's cool to fire your tires. It's cool to be able to skidder on the road and be a hazard not amongst yourselves but every bystander as well. And yet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that if you move a stone from the way, then that you have committed a good act of charity. So that no one will be able to hurt themselves whether they are believers or not. And yet the Muslims are doing everything totally against the way of the deen. And that's why we have become such a shame on everyone and everyone that we live around, that everything bad has been associated with the believers. Everything, it's the Muslims that are doing this.
It's the Muslims that are causing these habits. Up to the extent that the extreme far-right BNP have used that as a tool to propagate the hatred for Islam. Why is all this happening? Because we are falling under the trap of the system of the Dajjal. Because we think now that what we see as the garden, in reality is the fire. What we see as the fire, in other words, being obedient, respecting your parents, wearing respectable clothing, wearing respectable fashion, combing your hair properly, wearing something that you are recognized as a believer, to you that's a burden. To the believers, to the youth, it's a burden. Oh, I don't need to do all this. This is a waste of time. I'll do that when I get older. As if you've been guaranteed that you're going to live until you get older. Only last week, four young men, 20 years old, three have become shaheed on the way to Blackburn. They didn't even know a split second before that the ruh will be taken from them. None of us knows this. And yet we have this vision that we are going to live long lives, and maybe when we get older, after we have destroyed everything, destroyed our lives, and not together with our lives, our children's lives, not together with our children's lives, our respectability and our reputation as believers, we destroy everything, we think we're going to become on the straight and narrow. You think to yourself, how will you be able to protect yourself from shaitan? How will you be able to protect yourself from Dajjal? Because you are the very recruits Dajjal is looking for. These are the very recruits that Dajjal will want. Those people who will think that everything which is haram is halal. And those people that think that everything haram, which is halal, then they're those the people that he will throw into his fire. So from this we can understand. From this we see our sisters in the same problem. Because they want to follow where the brothers are going. And today we find that this segregation that Islam has told us about has become a burden upon us. It's become a burden. And it is seen as a burden. It is seen by the West that the women are oppressed as Muslims. As Muslims, it's the women that are oppressed because they have to wear the hijab. And yet it's not a form of oppression, it's a form of protection. And yet our believers, because the way that we have portrayed it, has become a sign of oppression. Because when there is a woman who is wearing the hijab, she is accepted as an oppressed woman. And right next to her will be a nun who will be practicing as a Christian believer, and yet she will be seen as a saint. And yet she has her head covered. But that's a matter of choice, because she's not being oppressed. It's the Muslimah that has been oppressed. And that's what we are finding. Our society, our governments are doing exactly the same. We will find everything that will make us thrive. So today we have to understand, what will protect us from Dajjal is our Iman which will protect us. With the power of your Iman you will be able to see kafiri. Because don't you think that the Jews and the Christians are studying Islam? The Orientalists have studied every part of Islam. Don't you think they have read the hadith? That the kafiri will be a recognition of Dajjal, so that they will be able to see it as well. And therefore when they see it, they'll remember, oh, the Prophet of Islam told us that this person is a man of fitna, let's avoid him. No, it's with the power of Iman that you'll be able to see this. And your Iman, you have to ask yourself the question, how strong is my Iman? How strong am I as a believer? How strong am I as a believing woman? How many answers can I give a non-Muslim if they are asking about my deen? In this society, never in the history of mankind, has anyone ever challenged the fact that our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala at a young age? And today we find that the evangelist Christian is accusing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of paedophilia. Why? Because the Muslims have become so weak that they don't care anymore. No one dare used to do that. Today we find that everything that is weak is in the believers. And that's what we have to change. You have to change yourself first. You expect everyone to change around you when no one's going to come in your grave. You are going to go in your own grave. If you change yourself, then you, by you changing, Allah inshallah will give you the tawfiq that your children will change as well. Because if you are bad, how bad do you think your children are going to get? And then I guarantee you that you will have your head in your arms. Because many, many elderly parents have that today. They have their heads in their arms. And they wish that Allah had never given them any children. Because the children that they have been given with are such a burden upon them. You will do exactly the same. Our brothers will be exactly the same unless you follow Allah and His Messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And stay away from the fitna of Dajjal. stay away from the tribulation and the system of the fitna of Dajjal. Because today we have to recognize that. You have to recognize this system. And then so that you can protect yourself from it, inshallah. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talked about Ya'juj Ma'juj. The tribe, Ya'juj Ma'juj, were imprisoned. Now the Quran talks about Ya'juj Ma'juj, and Zulqarnain was a man who imprisoned them. And they were imprisoned on the eastern mountains. When he had an army of people, and when he reached a group of people said to him that there is a group and there are people who are causing so much trouble that we need to be protected from them. Hazrat Zulqarnain decided to build a molten wall. A wall of stone filled with iron. And the iron and the stone will so that this group of Ya'juj, Ma'juj, Gog, Magog is hidden behind them. Now the Jewish scriptures say that this event occurred in 549 BC. Approximately 550 years before the advent of the Christian calendar. And in 549 BC, who is Hazrat Zulqarnain? Now there is a difference of opinion amongst the scholars. Some of them say it's Alexander the Great. And the scholars say maybe he is, some of the scholars say it is. And some of the scholars say they don't believe that it is, and they believe it is a king called Cyrus. Because the king that was called Cyrus was a pious man. And a God-fearing man. It was the God, Zulqarnain has been described as a pious and a God-fearing leader. And a king. And he, when he went on his travels, he saw this group causing great fitna that he imprisoned them behind this metal wall. Hazrat Zainab bin Jash radiallahu ta'ala anha, our mother of the believers, one of the wives of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came one day and his face was of a red complexion. And his face was wet with sweat, with perspiration. She asked, Ya Rasulullah, what has happened? He says, today, Ya'juj Ma'juj has created a hole that big. And with his finger and his thumb, he showed that a hole in the wall has been created by Ya'juj Ma'juj. Now what happens is, Ya'juj Ma'juj are creating this wall and they are licking this wall. And then, when they go to sleep, Allah reinforces that wall again. And so the wall becomes normal. So every day they are working at it. But one day, they will be able to, when Allah wishes, the wall will be open. And they will come out. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam will be near the Mount of Sinai, Mount Etur, with his followers. And Ya'juj, Ma'juj will come out and they will create such a havoc. First of all, they will drink all the water from the river Tiberias in Jordan. All the water will be drunk by them. And Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, as he is going to Mount Sinai, will say, didn't this lake have some water? And they will reply, O Prophet of Allah, yes it did. However, Ya'juj Ma'juj have been released. Isa alayhi salam will be barricaded and he will be under siege with Ya'juj Ma'juj, and they will create so much havoc. They will kill everyone that they will see. And this is when the Tartars in the 7th Al-Hijri, when they created havoc in Baghdad, that Imam Nawawi, rahimahumullah, saw it with his own eyes, says that the people at the time thought that the Tartars were the Ya'juj Ma'juj. But the reality is that they aren't. They were just someone with the characteristics of Ya'juj Ma'juj. Ya'juj Ma'juj, Gog and Magog, will create so much havoc, and they will kill everyone. Up to the extent that when they go to Jerusalem, they will get arrows and they will fire them into the sky. And they will pretend that they are attacking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah will put blood on them arrows. And when they return back from the sky, the arrows will have blood on it. And they will think and they will be pleased that we have killed the Lord today. And Ya'juj Ma'juj will create so much havoc. Until Isa alayhi salam will make dua. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept his dua that Allah will create a disease in their neck. You will either have a disease where insects will bite their neck, or some disease will occur in their neck, and each one of them will die. And the hadith says that when Ya'juj Ma'juj are dead, there will not be a single step that you can take without walking over their bodies. Because there will be so many littered with their stench and their smell. up to the extent that Isa alayhi salam will make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah will send a flock of birds with the neck like camels. Now whether that will be vultures or a larger form of vultures. And they will take these bodies away to wherever Allah wishes them to be. And it will rain up to the extent that no house will remain free of that rain. And Allah will clean the earth like the mirror. Absolutely shining clean. And Ya'juj Ma'juj will be destroyed with the dua of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. And this fitna will occur, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that one fitna will automatically be overtaken by another fitna. And the other fitna that will occur, narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala an, is that the sun, which at the moment rises from the east to the west, one day will then rise from the west to the east. That is the day that the doors of repentance will close. That is the day that whoever's a believer is a believer. And whoever has not believed will not become a believer anymore, regardless of their performance of tawbah. Why? Because that is such a clear sign against any form of natural science, any form of any situation, that every single day that Allah has created the earth and the universe, the sun has always risen from the east to the west. And one day that will be an open sign to show those people that are the believers that this is the sign where the doors of repentance have closed. And the sun will come up to the middle and then it will again rest again back into the west. And the doors of repentance will have closed. Up to then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every morning and every evening, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reaches His hand of power out and said, is there a person who is asking for my forgiveness so that I can forgive him? In the evening, is there a person who has committed sin during the day, who is asking for my forgiveness, so that I can forgive him? My dear brothers of Islam, regardless of whatever wrong you have done, Allah is the Ghafoorur Rahim. And if you ask for His forgiveness, and true repentance, Allah will wipe your past sins out, as if you have never ever done them before. But how often, how many times you need to be warned, there is no better time than now. Because when the sun will rise, the doors of repentance will close. And this will happen. As soon as this happens, the beast will occur. The beast will come, and it has been narrated by some of the hadith, and some of the scholars say that the Safa and the Marwa, the mountains of Safa and Marwa, the Safa will open and a beast will come out. Half human and half horse. And the beast will have the staff of Hazrat Musa in his hand. And the ring of Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam. And this beast will speak in eloquent Fusaha Arabic. It will speak Fusaha Arabic and it will go around. And with the staff it will mark every single forehead of the disbelievers. And with the ring it will mark every single forehead of the believers. Therefore, every person on earth will be able to recognize someone else that this is a believer and he's not a believer. The iman that is hidden in the heart, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has hidden our iman away, that will be the day when everyone will know who is a believer and who is a disbeliever. And this beast, the scholars argue of who this beast is. And some of the scholars say it is the same beast that Hazrat Tamim al-Dari radiallahu ta'ala and saw when he approached that island. Some of the scholars say it is the she-camel of Hazrat Salih alayhi salam that will be this beast. And some of the scholars say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create him from new. Whatever happens, the beast will occur. And the beast will, one of the signs that Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you know for a fact that the doors of repentance have closed. Because the sun has just appeared and the beast has appeared. And at this point the beast will come, it will mark every single person living on earth. And when the beast goes, then there will be the great smoke. There will be three earthquakes, whether that happens before or after, Allah knows best. But the earth will open, one in the east, one in the west, and one in the central of Arabia, where thousands of men and thousands of human beings will die. And then finally, the smoke that will occur, the sweet smelling smoke, some of the scholars say that it's not the smoke, it's the wind. Because there will be a wind that will occur. And it will go through the armpits of every believer and Allah will take the ruh away. Allah will take the soul away and the believer will pass away. And therefore Qiyamah, which is the last and the day of resurrection, will happen to the disbelievers and none of the believers will have to face the torment of the torment of the day of Qiyamah, or actually the occurrence of Qiyamah. And then the fire will occur. The fire will occur from Yemen, and the great fire will then force everyone to gather in the land of Mulk al-Sham, in the land of Syria, where everyone will then come out of their graves. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, first I will come out, and then will come Abu Bakr, and then will come Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. Then will be the people who are resident in Baqi, and then everyone around the earth will come out. The disbelievers won't know what's happening, and the believers will know that this is the day of resurrection. The day of resurrection has been talked about in detail in another one of my talks, and inshallah, if Allah wills, you'll be able to get that from some of the brothers about the actual occurrence of the day of resurrection. But the point today is talking about the major signs. One final major sign which I forgot to mention is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has narrated in a Sahih hadith that I can see with my own eyes the Ethiopian man with thin legs who is destroying the Holy Kaaba. And the Holy Kaaba will be destroyed. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has also said in another hadith that Qiyamah will not occur until the Hajj stops. So up till that day, the Hajj will occur. And when the Hajj stops, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends this great wind, then the fitna will occur so much that people will destroy the Kaaba. And the Ethiopian man with thin black legs will be seen. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I can see him as he is in front of me and he is destroying the stone of the Kaaba. And the Kaabatullah will never be resurrected again. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call each and every one of us to then provide our account for what we have done in the dunya. So my dear brothers of Islam, this isn't just any foretold story that I am telling you. This isn't something which may happen or may not happen. Because if you listen to the talks about the minor signs of Qiyamah, you will absolutely be assured that every single one of them have occurred. And every single one of these will also occur. But before they occur, prepare yourself. Before they occur, learn from what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us, has advised us, has made dua for us, and has asked for our protection for. My dear brothers of Islam, there is no savior except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from that Allah has given the power to His beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For those who follow His way will be those who will gain success. Those who lead His way will be those who will then, will forever, will be able to lose their way. And may Allah protect them, but there will be those people who will go into the hellfire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all, protect our iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us as believers, inwardly and outwardly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our sisters. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them the tawfiq to understand what Islam is all about. And what our iman is all about. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our brothers so that they can understand that every step that they take, they are representing the deen. And they represent it in the way that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advises of it being represented. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our future children, for they are our future generation who will continue this way of the may of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you don't teach your children, they will also fall into the way of the Dajjal. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillah bil alamin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.